The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is from Leviticus chapters 18 and 19. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them this, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived. You shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. Do not walk in their religious practices. Follow my ordinances and keep my regulations by walking in them. I am the Lord your God. Keep my regulations and my ordinances. Anyone who does them will have life through them. I am the Lord. When you reap the harvest from your land, you are not to finish reaping all the way to the edge of the field. Do not gather up the gleanings of your harvest. Do not strip your vineyard clean, and do not pick up the fallen grapes from your vineyard, but leave them for the poor and the alien who live with you. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not swindle. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, so that you do not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not exploit your neighbor. You shall not rob him. You shall not keep the wages of a day laborer with you overnight until morning. You shall not curse a deaf person, nor shall you put an obstacle in front of a blind person, but you must fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not act unjustly in court cases. Do not show favoritism to a poor person, and do not show undue honor to an important person. You must judge your fellow citizens with justice. You shall not go around spreading slander among your people. You shall not testify falsely against your neighbor in a capital case. I am the Lord. You shall not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. You must openly rebuke your fellow citizen so that you do not become responsible for his sin. You must not take revenge. You must not bear a grudge against the members of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Well, I have a question for you. Do you want to be a Christian, or do you want to appear to be a Christian? That's a valid question. A lot of people want to appear to be a Christian. They want the status. They want the self-satisfaction that they're one of the good ones. They want the assurance that the afterlife is going to be positive for them. On the other hand, they don't want the shame that might come upon them if they were to quit living as a Christian. But those who only want to appear to be Christian are not going to be interested in living according to God's or Jesus' commandments. They want to appear to be Christian, but they don't want to live as a Christian. Another way of saying this is that they want to be hypocrites. A hypocrite is someone who outwardly presents himself in a certain way, but it is merely a facade. So a Christian hypocrite can come to church, receive the sacrament, fold their hands, and so on, but in everything else, they live as they please. Of course, when I say they live as they please, realize that they have to stay within reason. You can't be outside the norm. You can't murder or molest someone and do something egregious like that. You can't go wild. Or more to the point, you can't get caught being wild. But otherwise, if everybody else is doing it, the hypocrite figures it must be all right. God says the opposite of this. You can't live like everybody else if you want to be a Christian. God says in our Old Testament reading that his people, the Israelites, need to be different. They can't be like the people of Egypt, the land that they had left. They can't be like the people of Canaan, the land to which they are going. How are they to be? They were to be different by keeping the regulations and ordinances of the Lord their God. The will of God expressed in His law is different from the way that folks normally live. Our Old Testament reading then goes on to give some particulars with regulations and ordinances, and we won't go deeply into all of them. In fact, we will only look closely at one of them. You can consider the rest on your own. The regulation that I'd like to spend our time on this morning might sound a little antiquated and agricultural, but it can easily be made applicable also for us. It says, "When you reap the harvest from your land, you are not to finish reaping all the way to the edge of the field. Do not gather up the gleanings of your harvest. Do not strip your vineyard clean, and do not pick up the fallen grapes from your vineyard, but leave them for the poor and the alien who live with you. I am the Lord your God." Now, in our times, we do not harvest the same way that they did, and it's not an expectation that we should harvest in that way, and grapes don't grow too well here in Iowa. But the general principle is applicable. The principle is this: although you might have the right and the ability to take as much as you possibly can, you shouldn't. You should let others have some too. You should let others have some too. So let's talk about what it means to get a quote-unquote good deal. When someone says they've gotten a good deal, that usually means that they've paid little but gotten much in return. The common understanding is that of a good deal is that it is a good deal for the person who is saying it. Maybe even the other party has lost money on the deal. That's kind of like the best of the good deals. Too bad for him, but good for you. A sign that this kind of activity should be recognized by everyone as not being quite kosher is that we wouldn't do this kind of thing with people that we love. Generally speaking, parents do not try to rip off their children, or vice versa. Close friends do not try to rip each other off, or otherwise that might be kind of hard on the friendship. Oftentimes, people like doing business with strangers because then they can treat the other party as shrewdly as they want, with minimal negative consequences for themselves. This greediness is taken to be normal among our people, and no real shame is attached to it. If anything, perhaps praise and admiration are given to those who do well for themselves. They're imagined to be superior human beings. But God speaks differently. If you want to be one of His people, then you should not live like those around you. You should not take as much as you possibly can. You should let others have some too. A good deal is one where somebody else benefits. The other party is enriched, and not just yourself. But, you say, that means I'm going to have less. Yes, I can see why you would say that, but maybe your thinking is a little short-sighted. In the short term, you might have a little less cash, but who is the one who is in control of the money that you have? Isn't it God? Think of what you are saying about God when you believe that you have to get everything you possibly can for yourself. Aren't you saying that you can't be generous because God is so stingy that unless you stuff yourself with everything you possibly can get your hands on, you'll have a horrible life, poor and miserable and so on? Think of what you are saying about yourself when you have to get everything you possibly can for yourself? Aren't you saying that you have the power to bless yourself? God is not to be trusted. You and your shrewdness, or rather your greediness, is what is to be trusted for your blessing. It is important that you take stock of what God is expecting of us. It is indeed true that you will have less in the short term if you are generous in your dealings with others. Having less always feels worse than having more. We would feel happy and secure if we had a mountain of money in the bank. We don't want daily bread. We want years and decades worth of bread stored up. It feels good to count our money, like Scrooge McDuck. It doesn't feel good to have nothing to count. Consider those poor Israelites when they were wandering around in the desert. They used up and ate up all that they had taken with them from Egypt. They literally were given daily bread in the form of manna. How they would torture themselves because they would feel hungry and thirsty from time to time and look around and not see anything to eat and to drink. But think about what else is going on at the same time. Meanwhile, the Creator of the universe was right there with them in the pillar of cloud and fire. And this God had said, "You are mine, and I am yours." It was kind of silly, at least from faith's perspective, for them to torture themselves. And so it is with our dealings. If you have to choose between being shrewd and thereby getting more for yourself, but disobeying God on the one hand, or being generous and having a little less, but being pleasing and honorable to God on the other, you should always go with what is in accord with God's will. This will be better for you. How will it be better for you? This also is important to take stock of so that your expectations are not inappropriate. How will it be better for you? When we think of being better off, we oftentimes think in terms of money, and that very well may be too. If you are generous with others, who's to say that they won't be also generous with you? In my experience, I've always found it much more pleasant to do business with people who aren't trying to flay me alive. So your generosity might even be blessed with more business and financial success. But money is certainly not the only way that a person can be blessed. It's not even the most important. This world is full of people who have huge amounts of money and property, but they love no one and are loved by no one. Always putting yourself first has even earthly consequences. So, what is a loving family worth to you? How much money? What's a good conscience worth to you? How do you buy that? What is peace worth? You are not as rich as Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or Elon Musk, and you never will be as rich as them if you are going to live as a Christian. But all three of these men are divorced, hated by their children, and are enslaved to their riches. Like dragons, they can only sleep when they are sure that their mountain of gold is safe and secure. Why do you want that mountain of wealth that poisons the one who sits atop it? The answer is our flesh. Our flesh is just like that. Our flesh believes more in what we have accumulated for ourselves than in the daily bread that God will provide for us tomorrow. When God made this regulation about the field, about the vineyard, for the Israelites, that they should not take for themselves every last thing that they possibly could, but that they should leave some for others, realize that this would have hurt their flesh too. It was basically like they were leaving cash sitting out there in the field. And who's to say, who's the one who might come along to pick it up? So how could they leave behind what was rightfully theirs in peace? The only way to explain that is that they believed that the Lord who had provided them with the crop that they were given would provide them with a blessing tomorrow too. They were better off putting their trust in the Creator than they were putting their trust in this accumulation of extra bits for themselves. Idolatry is the belief in created things for your blessing rather than belief in the Creator. Idolatry has by no means gone away. It is just as common today as it ever was and as it was at the time of the Israelites. The Lord God told the Israelites that they were to live differently from the people of Egypt who were idolaters, and that they were to live differently from the people of Canaan who were idolaters. And the same thing is true for us. We live among people who believe in created things instead of the Creator. And we are to live differently from them. It has always been tempting for God's people to live as hypocrites. That's where God's people honor Him with their lips, but their hearts, their faith, is far from Him. They go through the religious motions that are expected of them, but they live how they see fit. And when it comes right down to it, they believe more in blessing themselves by doing what they think rather than in God blessing them for being obedient to His word. The reason why Christians choose to be hypocrites is because they believe that they will be better off that way. They don't want to keep God's commandments. Keeping them sounds painful or boring or ineffective. This, however, is always a lie. The Israelite who left some behind in the field was better blessed than the Israelite who took everything that he could lay claim to. The Israelite who left some behind might not have been as rich as the Israelite who took everything. Well, so what? Should we shovel all your cash into your casket when it's time to go? What good will your cash do then? Being generous now puts that cash to work. Puts that cash to work for blessing and enriching others. So don't believe the lie that you will be better off as a hypocrite than by obeying God's commands. Realize also that it will take some courage to live as a genuine Christian. It is super easy to live just like everybody else. That requires no effort whatsoever. To live differently, however, takes some backbone. People will call you a fool. They will say that you'll never make it. They'll say that you'll be cursed, you'll be poor, you'll be miserable. That is to say, they will be your enemies, mocking you for putting your trust in the Lord. So be it. You are better off having mere human beings as your enemy than having God as your enemy. With God as your friend, you will be blessed. I can 100% guarantee that. You will be blessed. The blessing might not look how you expect it to look. You might look like our Lord Jesus Christ, whose life was not a bed of roses, but it will be good, just as Jesus' life was good, because our Father who is in heaven is good. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.